Today, Pastor Ray Bentley underscores the importance of the Bible within God's plan.
God has committed himself to his word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall remain forever. Even when he speaks today, he speaks to us through his word. It is written. It is a present word. It is a living word. It is a powerful word.
Spreading the news of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Have you let God speak to you today? How does God speak to me, you might ask? Well, through his word. When we pick up his word, we're picking up God's instructions, his encouragement, his love letter to us. And today, Pastor Ray points out how the Bible should be the centerpiece of our entire Christian experience. Let's listen.
Let's open our Bibles to the gospel according to Mark. We pick up in verse 21, Mark chapter 1, verse 21. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And so they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Every other rabbi would quote, well, so-and-so says, and they would quote all these other rabbis. Jesus quoted no one. He spoke as if he had all the power and all of the authority and said, this is the way it is. Verse 23, now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Yeshua of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him, cried out with a loud voice, and he came out of him. And then they were all amazed. And they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Now, many villages that go around the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Note that the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, Jesus came delivering the good news of the kingdom of God, the reestablishing of God's beachhead upon the earth, the world that he had made, the men and women that he had made in his own image and after his own likeness. The gospel of the kingdom delivers us from all evil. Now, I am sure that unclean spirits, which is, by the way, a common term used by the rabbis for demons or fallen angels, are not especially fond of synagogues. And I don't know how often this man had come to the synagogue who had this demonic problem, but he had come and somehow the demon had been able to hide or squeeze his way through. But now, when Jesus, the Messiah, begins teaching with power and with authority and with purity and with righteousness and with character, the words are burning. The word of God comes alive, and the demon inside that was hidden inside of the man begins to make him convulse and get sick and finally screams out. He was being tormented. Note that the demonic world is tormented by the presence of Jesus Christ. A true child of God walking with the Lord cannot be tormented, but the demons are tormented by the Lord. They will be burned by the presence of Christ. And I do not believe that a man or a woman that is born again of the Spirit can be possessed of a demon. Light and darkness cannot dwell together. You can be harassed in a variety of ways, but not that he is inside of you. This poor man was in a violent condition. So I like these three words, if you want to write them down, with dealing with spiritual warfare. Recognize spiritual warfare. What are the signs? Well, any kind of, you know, darkness, depression, suicidal thoughts, obviously, mass confusion as the enemy is trying to, you know, scramble everything around. And so recognize, number two, resist. And that means through the word. It is written is how we resist. Quote the word to him. Recognize, resist, standing on the word. And thirdly, start rejoicing by faith. Lord, I thank you that I belong to you. I thank you I am bought and purchased with the blood of Jesus. I thank you for the cross. I thank you that you're alive. I thank you that you're risen. I thank you that the devil is already defeated. I thank you the battle is not mine, but the Lord's. And you just start thanking the Lord for all the truths. Amen? Amen. Why didn't Jesus want the demons to give a testimony? Number one, what they said was true. He was the Messiah. And then he's the Lord. So why didn't Jesus want that to be true? Number one, he did not want to reveal his true identity too soon. There was a time for that, and the Father had told him, wait, because when you reveal openly, publicly, who you really are, that's when the cross is going to come. So that was to be waited until really Palm Sunday, when he finally publicly said, yeah, I'm who you've all been wondering and thinking I am, the Messiah. And number two, he did not want the testimony of known liars, even though what they said was true, demons are liars. And he says, I don't need your testimony. I'll take the testimony of the prophets, the word of God, my Father in heaven, the confirmation of the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 29, look at the love and compassion of Jesus. I do find it interesting as he cleanses now in this synagogue, in the church, the influence of the devil and the demonic. Now he begins, now miracles begin happening, healings begin happening. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she served them. And at evening when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and all those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. And then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. So this is after the synagogue service where, you know, the demon gets cast out of the guy and everybody's talking about it. They all leave. And then Peter and Andrew, who are brothers, invite James and John, two other friends, to come to their house, which was very, very close to the synagogue, right there in Capernaum. It's a little village along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And they invite Jesus, would you like to come to our house for dinner after church, after service here in the congregation? And if I could just add, it's very cool that Jesus was in synagogue. He was in church, but after church, that they invited Jesus to come home with them. How many think that's a good idea to do on Sunday? Don't just visit Jesus at church. Bring him home with you. Invite him into your home and with your family. It's always a good idea to bring Jesus home with you after church. And before long, Jesus, the guest, becomes the host. And they immediately say, oh, you know, they're probably worried because Peter's mother-in-law is sick. She's supposed to fix the meal. Here's these four fishermen. What are they going to fix? You know, lousy tuna sandwiches. Anyway, so they go, she's sick, kind of wondering, will he do something? And sure enough, Jesus does something. He comes to her, lays hands upon her, prays for her, and her fever is healed. Now, you know what it's like when you're sick and when you've had a fever. Even when the fever breaks, you don't feel like getting up and running around and serving and making a meal. You kind of just want it. You're kind of wiped out, right? That's what shows this is a miracle. Not just that the fever broke immediately, but she was so instantly, completely, supernaturally healed, she said, I've got all this energy. I'm going to make lunch. I want to serve Jesus. And she gets up and she's running, rushing around, and she begins preparing to serve them a meal. Now, the idea is, as these, you know, you can imagine as Jesus walks out of the synagogue and everybody's walking out, Everybody, how many would imagine everybody wanted to go wherever Jesus went after that? So they're walking as close as they can. They see the house. They're not invited in. But I wonder if there weren't groups of people standing outside, watching, waiting, seeing, hey, there's a lady, she's laying down, looks like she didn't feel well. Oh, she's up, she's walking, she's making lunch. And they're talking about it. As sundown comes, as Sabbath ends, now the whole, all these villages of people, masses of people, as the sun is setting, must have been beautiful there with the sun setting, the Sea of Galilee, the mountains on either side, and streams of people bringing anybody in their family, anybody that they loved who was sick or had some kind of oppression spiritually that was going on. And this is a true sign. You have been healed or delivered by Jesus. You have the strength and the energy and the love to serve others in his name. Hallelujah.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. Letters and emails mean so much to us here at Maranatha Radio. Your comments not only encourage us, they confirm the program is reaching hearts.
Pastor Ray, I attended Maranatha Chapel for 7 years back in the early 2000s. I now live in Texas and am able to watch your services online. Thank you so much for your faithfulness and God bless you.
It's so encouraging to hear how Pastor Ray's studies are touching lives. Would you share your story with us? Just drop Pastor Ray an email. Send it to ray@raybentley.com. That's ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now, I do want to note the difference between the diseased that are mentioned and the demon-possessed. There were those who were sick who were healed, and then there were those who were demonically possessed that were delivered. And while Satan can cause physical affliction, not all sickness is caused by demonic power. So you have to use the gift of discernment. Otherwise, every time you get sick, it becomes a demon, can give too much power and too much authority to the evil one. So there was a distinction between them. But look with me in verse 35. It says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight." So again, all of this is establishing the pattern, the beginning of Jesus' ministry. "Having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." When he prayed, what's he doing? He's talking to his Father in heaven. "And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.' But he said to them, 'Let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth.' And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons." Now I note this about the late hours that Jesus was up, laying hands, healing, ministering, did not keep him from early hours meeting with his Father. We have this great scripture in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, that prophetically talked about this fellowship between the Father and Son. Let's read it out loud together. "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned." The Father speaking, downloading to his Son the activities of the day, who he would meet, where he would go, and the ministry that would take place during that day. And then they come to him and they say, "Everyone is looking for you, Lord." Now, what are they looking for him for? They want to see more miracles. They want to see more healings. What does Jesus say? He says, "No, let us go into the next town that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." Now, Peter and Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John were probably thinking, "Lord, you have started a movement. This is incredible. The crowds of people are going to be here. And they want to see you keep on ministering and healing." And Jesus says, "Look, I need to go preach. I need to go preach the gospel. I need to tell the story of the kingdom of God. And I will there heal, and I will also deliver those who are possessed of demons. But the emphasis was on the preaching of the gospel. Miracles are, and healings, and whatever else may come with them, are not the main part of his ministry, but it is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the main thing. The miracles, therefore, are to prepare the hearts of the people, yes, to be healed and to be cleansed, but to hear the word of the Lord. For God has committed himself to his word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall remain forever. A love for his word. God is committed to his word. Even when he speaks today, he speaks to us through his word. It is written. It is a present word. It is a living word. It is a powerful word. So the emphasis on the word of God. And then verse 40, and we'll close with this last story in chapter 1. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." This man had been convinced Jesus has the power. He has the anointing. He can heal. "If you're willing, make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, first thing, what did he say? "I am willing. Be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. It's amazing as Jesus heals this leper. The first thing, this man knew Jesus was able. His question was, "Are you willing?" Jesus makes it clear, not only am I able, but I am willing. And I want you to know tonight, this is the heart of the Lord. Because, and listen very carefully, I imagine most of you, you believe that God is able. He's powerful. He's God. And Jesus Christ, the eternal Son, he has the power and he has the authority to heal, to cast out devils, to do whatever he wants. Amen? But is he willing? Is he willing? Yes, I think he's willing for many people. I believe that God is still healing today. Do you believe that he still heals today? That Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Yes. Is he willing for you? Yes, I think he would be willing for me. I want you to know he is not only able, he is willing here and now. His word is alive. His presence is near to heal. He has all power. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He bore our sins, but he also bore our sicknesses. He has all power and authority. And by his stripes, we are saved. By his stripes, we are healed. Amen? Amen. He loves you, and he is willing to heal you. 1 Timothy 2:4, "Who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." Jesus then tells this man, he says, "Go to the priests." And the reason is that I believe it's in Leviticus 13 or 14. There are laws. If a man has been cleansed of leprosy, and he is to go and to do certain things for the priest to investigate. The priest had a responsibility to make sure he had actually, genuinely been healed of the leprosy, because he wasn't allowed within the congregation. They had to pronounce him clean. But also there was something else. If it was investigated, and that a miracle, that God had done a healing and a cleansing of leprosy, they had not seen lepers cleansed and for a very, very long time. There were a lot of lepers. It was a big problem. So the children would go to synagogue and say, "How come there's this law that says if lepers are cleansed and healed by God, then they're to do these sacrifices and go to the priests and then be declared clean. And what are they doing there? No. Where's the lepers are not being cleansed. So the rabbis had a problem. Why are these laws there? For the healing and the cleansing and the authentication of lepers being healed by God. And there's no lepers being healed for like, well, last one was a guy named Naaman. He wasn't even Jewish. Wow. So what did the rabbis say? They said, the rabbis were very wise. They said, these laws are for when the Messiah comes. When the Messiah comes, the lepers shall be healed. Therefore, the reason that Jesus sent the man to the priest to be authenticated, there hadn't been anyone to authenticate these cleansings. In fact, what Jesus wanted for the priest to do was to force them to find out and investigate. Yes, this man genuinely had leprosy. He is genuinely clean. And therefore, by our own testimony and word, the man who has cleansed him must be the Messiah. But the man circumvented that. He got too excited and says, I can't wait. I'm going to just go tell everybody. Poor guy. He'll still be in heaven. But it was an opportunity for him to do what Jesus said. And it's important for us, even when God works in your life and does something marvelous, he does something miraculous, he does something life-changing, and you get excited and you start running off with your own ideas of how to spread the good news. Be obedient. Be careful to hear everything the Lord would say to you so that he gets all of the honor and all of the glory and all of the credit. Not just you running around saying, my life was changed, but going, as it were, to the priests and saying, you're the ones. Can you imagine how powerful that would have been? You are the ones who have told us for generations. You told my kids, you told my grandkids, you told me that these laws were for when the Messiah came, the lepers would be cleansed. A leper has been cleansed in Israel. John the Baptist is a prophet of God. He pointed to this man, and we are following him. Is he not the Messiah? And that's what Jesus was wanting to do. You know, we are living in a very exciting, extraordinary time. And the Lord, God Almighty, is delivering people. He is delivering people from the power of sin and of Satan and of the demonic and of darkness. He has the power to deliver us from sin and to bring us into the kingdom of God and into righteousness and to a holy, intimate relationship with him. And the world is running, they're running into, how many would agree the world has a lot of problems? On a lot of different levels. And there's people are saying, where do we go? Where do we turn? Where's the leadership? It's a very anxious time. This is a time where people are looking for something, a way that is different, a way that is real, a way that is genuine, a way that will be the way, the truth, and the life. Let Jesus be the one that is lifted up and glorified. Amen.
Good encouragement from Pastor Ray Bentley today from our studies in the Gospel of Mark here on Maranatha Radio. Today's study is titled Gospel Power. If you missed any part, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. We hope you'll stop by our site today. When you get there, under Media, you'll notice three words, Watch, Radio, and Devo. Three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights. Plus, click About and find out more about Pastor Ray and find out how you can come into a deeper relationship with the Lord. And at the bottom of the page, you can sign up to receive Pastor Ray's daily devotions via email, free of charge. Plus, you'll find so many spiritual growth books and resources from Pastor Ray, including his latest book called The Threshing Floor, a prophetic fiction novel. And raybentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also donate securely right there on our site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Mark. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.